We are in Leviticus chapter 6, resuming our study at, we'll start at verse 19. Leviticus 6, 19. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that'll be Leviticus chapter 6, verse 19. It's our custom before we begin our Bible study to give each of us the opportunity to engage in what's called the rebound technique. Rebound doesn't sound like a theological word, but it is a theological word. In fact, it's one of the key functions for any born-again believer is Christianity 101, that you have to understand this concept. So to diagram it very briefly, when you believe that Christ died for your sins with one speck of faith more than none at all, you're entered into this top circle. These red dots represent sins. When he was on the cross, he bore the sins of the world, trillions of them. And you weren't born yet. But God, of course, in his omniscience, knew you had come into existence, knows every sin you'll ever do, whether sins of the tongue, mental attitude sins, or overt sins. Those were all bundled together in 30 AD, starting at 12 o'clock, and they were slammed into his body. And that's when he started to scream. He didn't scream from 9 to 12. He was on the cross for 6 hours, but he started screaming at 12 because that was the time that he bore the sins of the world. The penalty of sin is spiritual death. He took our place because God is absolutely perfect. If you want to live with God forever, you must be perfect. Therefore, all other religions are false because they tell you you get to God by good works, by good deeds. No, you rely on the work of Christ. And when you rely on his work and believe that he died for your sins, you're automatically in the top circle. We call that eternal security. The Bible calls it eternal security. We have a whole doctrine in your book called Christian Doctrines with many, many proofs from the Bible, many ways to look at it. Simply put, once you're in, you're in. You can't get out. Impossible. You could denounce Christ, you're still in. Just means you're an idiot. Do the same thing. Denounce your parents. See if that works. They'll always be your parents. Parents can't get rid of you. You can't get rid of them. It's a relationship. And God has a perfect love for every believer because once you're saved, once you believe that Christ died for your sins with a speck of faith more than none at all, you can have a hangover and do it. You don't have to be good. Just say, I'll take it. You don't have to get dunked in water. You don't have to count beads. There's no magical things. You simply say, I'll take it. With one speck of faith more than none at all, about the size of an electron going around an atom, and you can't see an atom. That's all you've got to gin up. And God, the Holy Spirit, will take that amount of faith and he'll move it over, make it efficacious for salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't get it saved by your works. Holy Spirit does it. And he puts you in this top circle. You cannot get out. That's why it's the good news, not almost the good news. And once you realize that, it's very relaxing. You don't have to tell people, well, I hope I'm saved. You say, I'm damn right I'm saved, because it doesn't depend on you. Now, do you feel anything when this occurs? No. But actually, according to the Bible, 40 things occur at the moment you believe in Christ. 40 of them. One of them, you receive his eternal life. Another one, you receive the righteousness of God imputed to your soul. Because when you're born, you have your own righteousness, minus R. God is perfect righteousness. So, if this is the math problem, that equals minus R. Let's see, when you believe that Christ died for your sins, you receive his righteousness. This is converted to that. Math problem solved. God can let you in. And it's as simple as that. That's the great cosmic math problem that the Creator had. If I bring creatures into existence with free will, they will turn against me. Just a matter of time. How do I keep them in a relationship? Because once they are sinners, I got to kick you out. I can't have anything to do with you. I can only condemn sin. He found a way. With mankind, it's impossible. With God, he found a way. Somebody has to pay the price tag for sin. And that somebody has to be a human, and that was Jesus of Nazareth. That's what the Levitical offerings are all about. They look forward to the cross. We look back. They're saved the same way you're saved. They weren't saved by the rituals. They're saved by simply expressing a speck of faith in the coming Messiah. You expressed a speck of faith in the Messiah that already came. You never met Jesus, neither did they. Now, there was a small segment of humans that actually met him when he was on the earth. Very few in number. The vast majority, they never met him in person, either this way or that way. But they're saved the same way. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 tells you how they're saved. That's the pattern. Abraham believed in the Lord. It was credited to his account for righteousness. That's what it says. You believe, you get his righteousness. One of the 40 things. Now God can let you in. And you're in. Simple as that. But you're also put in the bottom circle. We have FT here. That's filling of the Holy Spirit in time. And we can quote the verses, but I'll just give you what the verses say. They're in Ephesians. They're in Galatians. The command is to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. As to a believer. How do you do that? The command is to grow. Is to peripateo, walk by means of the Spirit. That's your lifestyle. How do you do that? Negative command, do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. What's all about? Well, holy rollers, of course, misinterpret this. They're jumping up and down doing cartwheels in the aisle. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a mechanical issue. Because once you're saved, the first time you commit a sin, let's say this sin, and when you commit that sin that Christ died for 2,000 years ago, you're out of this bottom circle. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit anymore. When you're saved, you're in the bottom circle, top circle. Top circle, you can't get out. Bottom circle, we get out all the time. When you commit a sin, you're out, and you're in the cosmic system, which is a system of thinking controlled by His Majesty the Devil, who is the ruler of the world. And he's a super genius. You can't match swords with him unless you understand a lot of Bible doctrine. And most Christians, they're saved, they sin, they're here, they never get back. They never get back in a fellowship relationship with God the Holy Spirit because they don't know how. Well, the Bible tells you how. Many, many, many verses. We go to 1 John 1:9. If third-class condition, maybe you will, maybe you won't. We name our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This is God the Father. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mechanics, you go to Chick-fil-A, you steal a hamburger. I guess they have chick burgers. You steal a chicken sandwich when no one's looking. That's a sin. All of us can kind of recognize that's a sin. If you were in fellowship when you did it, you're now here. How do I get back? Well, as you're walking back to the campus with your chicken sandwich, you would say, Father, I stole a chicken sandwich. Boom. You're back filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to feel sorry for it. You don't have to give them the money back for the chicken sandwich. You don't have to do any penance. Nothing. You simply name it. No guilt required. No, do not promise God you'll never do it again because next Thursday you might steal a drink. You don't know. You have an old sin nature. We sin to the day we die. 1 John 1:8 makes that very clear. If we say that we do not sin, these are believers, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. So distinguish between eternal security and this. That's why they use rebounds, like a basketball. If you're doing this right, you're naming lots of sins all day long, or all week long. Father, I gossiped about somebody. Gossip's a sin. So we have a whole doctrine of sin in here. The more you learn about sin, the more things you can realize. Ooh. But see, we have unknown sins. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, if, third class condition, we, these are believers, name homologeo, our sins, harmartia, he is faithful and just, that's God the Father, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all the unknown sins, all unrighteousness. So don't hurt yourself and, I can't think of more than one or two sins. Name one. And boom, you're back. So we're all royal priests because there's another thing. Once you become a believer, what are you supposed to do? Do you imitate the unbeliever? Or do you imitate goody-goody people? Most people think the Christian way of life is to do good, be good, feel good. Make peanut butter sandwiches, cut the grass, go to church, do all these things. That means nothing. Human works. God didn't call you to do that. What did He command you to do? And my military background, I like direct orders. The Bible's full of them. And one of them is, the paramount one for us, is to grow up. Learn the mind of Christ. Because when you're born again, you're born as a baby. You don't know crap. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I heard the gospel. I'll take it. I didn't know about the resurrection. I didn't know about baptisms. Do you know in the Bible there are 3 wet baptisms and 4 dry ones? Do you know the difference? Well, I didn't. What about the resurrection? What about category A, category B, category C, category D? Resurrection? Don't know. What are the 10 attributes of God in the Bible? I didn't know. They're all there. God has commanded us to grow by means of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're commanded to grow up to be, the word is aner, which means an adult. And obviously there are stages, just like the physical growth. You start out as a baby in the playpen, you get bigger and bigger and bigger. You grow by eating food and exercising. How do you grow in your spiritual life? Eating food and exercising. What's the food? Spiritual food. Who gives it to you? The pastor, teacher. Me. I give you the food. Now you can say, I don't want to eat it. That's fine. Whatever. Or I do want to eat it. Oh, but can't I just read the Bible for myself and I'll get... No, you can't. Impossible. I read it twice for myself. I learned nothing. I knew I didn't know anything. God will give you someone to teach you that's not full of crap, because most of them are. They do not teach you what the Bible says. They teach you man-made traditions of our church, and it must be correct. Jesus faced this. The Pharisees got all upset because he violated their traditions. And he said, you people are preaching the traditions of mankind. I'm teaching the Bible. And that's what he did for 3 years. He didn't establish the Crippled Children's Foundation or the Down with Slavery movement, all the movements that people want you to get involved in. He taught Bible class for 3 years. What did he teach? Information. What's the goal of information? So you can grow up. So that's our goal. We're going to get you to A, to B, to C, to D, because heaven is a place of vast inequality, and you will be rewarded on what you did in this mortal body. So that's what it's all about. So we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer because you represent yourself before God. We're studying the Old Testament where there's priests. There's no priest today. You are your own priest. There's no middleman. You go straight to God the Father. And you would say, Father, I would like to get in fellowship. I gossiped about Mary Lou about 5 minutes ago. And then you'll be in a fellowship relationship, ready to learn. Because this is the relative side of your spiritual life. This is the absolute side. You're either here or here at any given moment. This is the relative side. But you got to do the absolute side before we can start working on the relative side to grow up. So let's use the opportunity to use the rebound technique. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen. So we're in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 19. We are going to recap these things because there's 5 Levitical offerings from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And they each of them have a distinct meaning for believers back then. Remember, if you were a believer, because a lot of the Jews were not believers. Some were, some weren't. Some thought they were saved just by keeping the rituals. But the rituals were teaching tools. They don't save you. It was the priest that would do the ritual and then explain to people what it meant. In most cases, they didn't know what it meant. So they just do the ritual. There was no reality behind it. And ritual without reality is meaningless. You can do the Lord's Supper in the church age, but if nobody explains to you what it means nothing. And most churches don't know what it means. They don't explain it to you. We do. In fact, we're coming up. We do it the first of the month, Sunday, every month. I think the 31st, so it's not going to be this Sunday, but next Sunday. And we go into great depth about what that ritual means. Now, the good news is, in the church age, we have one ritual we're commanded to do, the Lord's Supper. If you were born as a believer back here, remember, you're saved the same way they are. You just believe that Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah, died for your sins. They didn't know his name. They called him in the singular, Lord, Kurios in the Greek. They had different names for him. And we studied that before. But the concept's the same. Abraham believed in the Lord. That's singular. Who's this person? The Lord. It's the Messiah, the seed of the woman. Many names that he had. But the concept's always the same. It's the promise. The promise that this man is going to come and die for your sins. And you're in. So a lot of people are, well, they were saved by the Mosaic Law. No, they weren't. You can't be saved by keeping the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was just a teaching tool. It had 3 compartments, Codex 1, Codex 2, Codex 3. We studied that in great detail. But that's all the rituals were meant to do. Most of them, the vast majority of the rituals, were teaching tools for the person of this coming Messiah and the work of the coming Messiah. And yes, they were bloody. The sin rituals were bloody. The trespass rituals were bloody. They were slicing the throats of innocent animals, millions of them. Horrible way to die. What's that all about? Well, it talked to you about the Messiah would die a horrible death on your behalf. As we said many times, when I kill an animal, I have to give it a quick death. They didn't give these animals a quick death. They tied them up and cut their throat. Slow death. Blood everywhere. Painful death. Why so gory? Why so bloody? Because that's the horror that he would endure on the cross from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That's a pretty powerful teaching tool. That's why they did it. If they knew what they were talking about. Some idiots said, oh, if we kill one lamb and get saved, we'll kill five. They're not saved. The ritual doesn't save you. It's a teaching tool. But man, they had so many rituals in the Old Testament. That's one of the reasons you could thank your lucky stars you're born in the church age. We don't do this stuff anymore. Why are we studying it? Because they're examples. They do have windows that we can look at, and it helps us to better understand who and what Jesus was and what the price he paid for our salvation. So we start with verse 19 here. Another ritual. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord here is in the singular. This is the offering which Aaron and his sons, Aaron is the brother of Moses, the high priest, are to present to the Lord on the day when he is anointed. The tenth of an epheth of fine flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. This is a ritual for the teachers. Somebody's got to teach the people. These will be the Levitical, the members of the tribe of Levi that were teachers. Not all members of the tribe were teachers. Some of them procured the animals. Some of them were guards for the temple. Some of them did this. Some of them did that. Some of them were in the choir that sang. But these are the people that were actually doing the rituals. And so these individuals had to go through a ritual to set them apart. Because today we have the gift of pastor-teacher, which some males have. And if they energize that gift, they should have studied for at least 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 years before they open their mouth. At least. You can't teach what you do not know. Unfortunately, most of our seminaries turn out people that teach legalism. They don't teach the Bible. They're worthless. There are some exceptions, but both of them are absolutely worthless. They do not teach the Word of God. They teach nice little homilies and little lessons, and Johnny, you're great, and Susie, you're great, and who will give 10? Martha gave 5, and all sorts of nonsense. And they encourage you, their whole sermon is be good, do good, feel good. Unbelievers can do that. So if an unbeliever can do that, is that the Christian way of life? Oh, what a thought. No, it's not the Christian way of life. To imitate morality is not the Christian way of life. Unbelievers cannot do this. They cannot be filled with God the Holy Spirit. They cannot use the rebound technique, and they cannot grow up. They can hear the words. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, Bible doctrine, what we're getting today, is foolishness to them. What we teach is foolishness. The cross is foolishness. Oh, you can't be saved by that. You got to be a good person. That's a lot. You don't have to be good. I encourage you to be good. It helps society, but it's not a requirement. It's not a requirement. You can be your same rotten self. And if you're honest with yourself, you're no damn good. If you take a close look at yourself, what are you? No damn good. When I say you're no damn good, relative to who? Relative to God. Oh, yeah, you might be better than somebody else. Whoop-de-doo. That's not the issue. Relative to perfect God, what really are you? You would be incinerated immediately if you got what you deserved. And as a believer, we still have an old sin nature. We sin to the day we die. But see, God found a way of grace to solve that. Just rebound. Get back in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's how you get filled with the Spirit. You just name an own sin. No emotion involved. It's a lie. There's no emotional. There's no rosy glow. There's no smiling at people. You can fake people out by looking holy, smiling. It means nothing. A lot of people are faked out by people with fancy robes on, and they have that stupid look on their face. They walk around the church like they know something you don't know. Sad. A lot of people are fooled by it. You ask them something about Jesus, though, see what they really know. Explain to me the hypostatic union. Don't know. Give me the 10 attributes of God. Don't know. What's a theophany? Never heard of it. What's a Christophany then? What? What are the 9 deaths in the Bible? What are the 4 compartments of hell? And on and on and on. Don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know, but I love Jesus. You cannot love what you do not know, my friend. You can look holy, act holy, but give it to somebody else. They got their hands in your pockets for money and approbation lust and power lust. They don't want to know what the Word of God says. They just don't. And so they're not serious students of the Word of God. Not at all. So these are the priests that have to be prepared. In verse 21, it shall be prepared with oil on a griddle. Oil stands for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, no one was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. We studied that before. At most, you could be endued with the Holy Spirit. But they had a relationship. The Holy Spirit had powerful ministries in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit saved the unbeliever in the Old Testament just like he saves you. He takes your amount of faith, flips it over, and efficacious for salvation. That's what the oil is all about. On a griddle, and then you do the grain offering, is in baked pieces of a smoothing aroma to the Lord. You want to do your duty as to the Lord. Now, a smoothing aroma, of course, something that's pleasing to the Lord. What's pleasing to the Lord? You're saved because you have his righteousness. That's what's pleasing to the Lord. So the rest of your soul, here's your soul, that's what you really are. You've got God's righteousness, you've got the 40 things, but the rest of it is crickets. What does God want you to do? He wants you to take this information and put it in your soul. The doctrine of eternal security. How about putting that right there? The doctrine of the hypostatic union. This doctrine, that doctrine, that doctrine. You're filling up your soul. What are you filling up your soul with? The mind of Christ. And that impresses God. He's only impressed with himself because he's perfect. He sees that in you. He's impressed. All your good deeds are nothing. They'll all be destroyed at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They'll be burned up with a fire. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-mm. Now, Christ didn't die for your good deeds, but they'll all be destroyed. They won't be in heaven. Only thing that's going with you into heaven is this. But most believers, it's crickets, dude. They don't know anything. They'll be saved. They'll be in heaven. But their rewards will be limited to a resurrection body and have a nice day and here's a gift card to McDonald's. You don't want to be that way. You want to be a 4-star general in heaven because heaven is a place of vast inequality. How do you get your rank? Put the mind of Christ in your mind during this mortal life and you will be blessed beyond your imagination in time as well as in eternity. Where do you get that? Oh, just hundreds of verses. The doctrine of rewards. It's on the website. You can go right to the doctrine of rewards and look at all the verses. I'd have to sit here for 7 or 8 hours straight to stop and go through all these doctrines. And if you're new to the ministry, don't worry, you'll get it. It's going to take some while. You're getting the general frame, the general outline. We're building you a house in your soul. You got to frame the house first before we put the roof on. Then we put the roof on. Then we do the electrical work and the plumbing work. Advanced Bible doctrine is based on basic Bible doctrine. This is basics. How many Christians do you run across that know this? How many Christians know that? How many Christians know what happened on the cross? And yet that's basic Christianity 101. You can go to church for 10 years and not get this. Why? The blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But if you want to learn about your Creator, God is fair. He will give you someone to teach you. He has to. If you don't, even if Jesus Christ himself is holding the Bible class, it will do you no good. How do we know that? That's exactly what happened. He gave Bible classes for 3 years. Did them no good. One ear, out the other. Not just the disciples. In fact, Judas was an unbeliever the whole time. He wasn't even saved. Did him absolutely no good. Perfect communicator. Where's the fault? In the congregation. But if you want to learn, he will drop it in your lap. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, don't even try to say, oh, Father, I never had a chance to learn because I never had anybody to teach me. He'll roll back the tape on your life, really. This time, that time, that time. You said no. You went for 2 or 3 times. You dropped out. This time you went for a couple more times. You dropped out. Don't even try it. You can scam other people. You can even scam yourself. You can't scam your Creator. If you want it, you will get it. So everyone should be very happy. You're going to get exactly what you want in eternity. If you want to be saved, you will be saved. If you want to reach maturity, you will reach maturity. If you don't, you won't. God will not reach in and grab your volition and turn it to positive. He'll give you information, but you have to decide, I'll take it or I won't take it. So these priests have very grave responsibilities, and they're supposed to be a smoothing aroma to the Lord. Most pastor teachers are not a smoothing aroma to the Lord. They're putting out, I almost said a bad word, they're putting out false doctrine. They don't teach eternal security. They're quite the opposite. Well, you just had a head belief, not a heart belief, brother. I saw you getting out of that bar drunk. That's a bunch of crap. Where does it say in the Bible there's a difference between a head belief and a heart belief? It doesn't say it. They made it up. A real Christian would never do that. Really? A Christian can do any sin that an unbeliever can do except the unpardonable sin, and that is not believing in Christ. You've already passed that point. If you're a believer, you can't do the unpardonable sin. A Christian would never commit suicide. They're going to hell. No, they're not. They're saved. Once you're in, and you can't get out. Very relaxing once you believe it. And God will give you a test to see if you believe it. He'll give you a sin that you're going to do that's going to blow your mind. Oh, I lost my salvation. All you got to do is recall the doctrine of eternal security, apply it, and you're back on the track again. But even if you do commit suicide, oh, well, we'll see you in heaven. Means nothing. Means you're an idiot, of course, but you'll be in heaven. So these priests, they don't put out the smoothing aroma, but you're supposed to. Verse 22, the anointed priest who will be in the place among his sons and offer it, by a permanent ordinance, it shall be entirely offered up in smoke to the Lord. When it's offered up in smoke to the Lord, that speaks to your full effort. All of it goes to the Lord. So if you have the gift of pastor or teacher, it's all to the Lord. Now, what about you? You have a gift. God the Holy Spirit gave you at least one spiritual gift when you were born again. And that gift will be energized. There's lots of gifts. Look up the doctrine of gifts. You have the same responsibility. In fact, you can achieve a higher position in heaven than the one that's teaching you. How about that? Paul even recognized that. He said, whoa, I've been teaching this stuff, knocking my brains out, but you know, there's people in the congregation who could receive more rewards than me. He said that in Philippians. And that's true, because I have an old sin nature. The fact that I put out the truth, well, I have a personal life. Do I fail? Of course I do. Do I sin? Of course I do. Is it going to get the best of me? We'll see. So far it hasn't. But you keep moving. Well, I'm still alive like you're still alive. So you have the people are, oh, the pastor teacher is going to get all these higher reward. Well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Most pastor teachers, many pastor teachers that I've encountered, they're not even Christians. At Christian churches, because how do I know? I ask him how you're saved. Well, you had to be good. No, you don't. You got to believe in God. No, devils believe in God. That doesn't save you. They don't believe in faith alone, Christ alone, period, period, period. They go, faith alone, Christ alone, and I got to be good. No, you don't. Where does it, when I say no, you don't, where does it say that in the Bible, you got to be good? It doesn't. It doesn't. Not at all. No requirement. I don't say to my sons, you can be my son as long as you're good. Otherwise, boom. They don't work that way. You're always my son. I'd like you to be good, but it's not a requirement. And God's not, he's not, he doesn't lie. When you're in, you're in. The thief on the cross, what good deed did he do? He's at the end of the rope, and he deserved to be executed. I believe in the death penalty, so is the Bible. He deserved what he got. He deserved to be executed, and he was on his way. He was at the last straw. Did he get dunked in water? No. Did he say, I'm sorry for all my sinful ways? No. What did he do? No. He just said, Kurios, that word is Lord, the same word that Abraham used. How about that? Kurios, looked at Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what the Bible records, which indicates his expression that he believed he was the Messiah. Everybody knew the claim that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe it. That indicates he believed it. Did Jesus say, no, it's too late? Sorry. What did he say? You're in. The thing to me that's really amazing is not that this one thief was saved. What about the idiot on the other side? That amazes me. Who would say no to this? Who would say no to salvation by grace? Well, this other idiot did. At first, both thieves were mocking Jesus, both of them. If you're the Son of God, come off the cross. They were doing the same slander to both of them. Then the one said, wait a minute. I'm going to stop this BS. And I'm going to believe that he is the Lord. The other one never stopped. That's the amazing thing to me, is the one that said no. And that still amazes me today. I get the gospel a lot. Who would say no to this? Who would say I don't want it? And then if you're a Christian, who would say no to learning? I'm amazed. And Jesus in his humanity, we've seen that verse. It says Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Not his deity, his humanity. Who would say no to salvation by grace? And what's their objection? It's too easy. They're legalistic SOBs. It wasn't easy for Jesus, if that makes you feel better, you legalistic SOB. If God is love, shouldn't it be easy? Yes. He's not hiding the ball on you. He doesn't want to put you under little thumbtacks. Doesn't play games. And it don't get any easier than this. So, being saved, 5 seconds. Getting here, you ain't going to do it in 5 seconds. It's going to take some time. But God gives you the time. Jesus expected all his disciples to get to the highest levels within 3 years. They didn't. You stick with this ministry, you'll be at that level. Or find another Bible teacher. Maybe I'm not the one for you. Find someone that knows what they're talking about. Stick with them. And you will get to that level. And you will hear this from Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little thing, going to Bible class and learning. I will make you a ruler of vast things in the universe, the new universe. Want to hear that? Well, few believers will hear that. Most of them are going to hear this. But what did you do with the time I gave you? Well, that you pissed it away. So we continue with our verse. Verse 24. Well, I guess we can't continue. Our time's up. We will pick up at verse 24 on Sunday with our head bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen.